And we've got a great audience who comes, like a fool, I always say, you know, if you've got any questions to ask, not many pastors would do that because you're creating problems for yourself, but we do it anyway, you know, so people ask questions about faith and all that. So that for me is also a highlight because, you know, we are growing in the Word, and I highly encourage people on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock to join us, even for half an hour, even if you're a bit late, just come. You know, there's no condemnation, and I know the speaker there as well. I think he's, you know, he says a few things that are biblical. Hopefully, everything that's biblical. As we move on, I want to also remind the church that we have Affirmation Sunday on November 22nd. And it gives me a great delight to have kids share their faith and what they've learned through the affirmation classes. It's been a rough ride for many of us, especially the affirmation kids who had to stop and then continue, but they did everything. So I look forward to hearing their testimony on November 22nd. So we're going to dedicate the service of Thanksgiving to them. Now, you know, my sermon, as I promised you, will be based on Thanksgiving, right? But how can you give thanks, truly, how can you give thanks when things are going so wrong around you or in your life? It's very easy to use scriptures and tell people, oh, just be thankful. Well, you don't feel at times to be thankful, right? I mean, the feeling of thankfulness is not there when things are just not right. And, you know, especially with, you know, a lot of people in this nation had certain ideas of, you know, of how the nation should move forward. And other, you know, it's interesting that 71 million had said this, 71 million said, there's a divided nation of how the right move is forward. But what fascinates me is that I wish people will get as excited when it comes to the Word of God and the Kingdom of God, you see? We are so immersed in things that will change constantly versus in things that have been established from the Ancient of Days. No wonder Jesus says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And the good thing is we don't elect Jesus every 4 years, right? He elects us, but we don't elect him. We don't do all these crazy stuff, I mean, we could have fed world hunger so many times over, you know, the money that we've spent over so many elections and this and that. But seriously, is that we don't elect Jesus, but Jesus elects us. And that's why we are here. You know, it is utterly the work of grace. Now, what is also fascinating is that he is utterly in control. I want to share with you a few scriptures from the Bible. And in order to emphasize that nothing happens, absolutely nothing happens in this world unless God has a hand in it. Now, sometimes we will never understand it because his ways are different than our ways. His thoughts are different than our thoughts. But what I want to share, the very first verse that I want to share with you is Psalm 46:10. Be still. Oh boy, in a nation where you just keep have to run and run and run, how can you be still? The other word for be still is just relax, chill out, right? The literal translation. I highly encourage people to read the Message. You know, it's a great translation, transliteration actually, that it just talks in a daily language. You know, it uses the language that we use on a daily basis, right? But I don't preach from it, but I enjoy reading it. And one of the words that's used there is just says, chill out, be still, relax. And know that I am God. Not kings, not queens, not presidents, not Congress, not Senate, not governments. I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. And no one can stop that. So knowing that we can put our trust in a God who cannot change and who has a final say, I'd rather be on the side of God rather than on the side of things that are constantly changing, right, wrong, or ugly, right? Now, the other verse that I want to share with you comes from Psalm 27. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And it will make all the difference. I mean, it's good. You know, we are citizens of this world. Let's remember that. And we must engage in the day-to-day events. However, some of these things are going to disappoint us because people are disappointing, of which I am one. We always disappoint because we are fallen creatures. We will never be perfect. And I can assure you that we have all been disappointed here, right? Haven't you all been disappointed in life by people? Sometimes animals are much more graceful. I start loving our puppy. I just realized that, you know, no matter what I do to that dog, I mean, nothing terrible. Like I just say, I don't want you to be, you know, imagine you keep saying, I don't want you to be near me. They just come and looks at you and, you know, and then your heart melts. And then you do everything that you're supposed not to do. You feed them. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Right? But then people are not like that. Sometimes you look at people and say, I don't want to be around you, man. And some instances are justified because you don't want to be around individuals who breathe toxicity, right? Because eventually you're going to be affected by it. And that is biblical to stay away from fools. And you need discernment to know who's a fool and who is not. Now, some trust in chariots, some trust in power. They say, you know, if you are on the side of power, and it's true to some extent that, you know, you will be on the winning side. Where's Pharaoh now? Where's Hitler now? Where's Mussolini now, right? I mean, in those days that they were elected, they were all gone. People come and go. Life comes and goes, but the word of God stays forever. Feel like a Pentecostal minister. Yes. All right. Not by might, scripture tells us, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So it is the spirit of God that does all the work. Not just you, not me. We can do only so much. At the end of the day, it is in the hands of the spirit of God. And it is the spirit of God that has the hearts of men and women in all positions, low and high. In the Lord's hand, Proverbs says, in the Lord's hand, the king's heart is like a stream of water that he channels toward all who please him. A person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart to do what is right and just. And justice, and I don't know what that is, you know, there's that I can't read the things that I've skipped writing, is more, and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice, you know. And a lot of the times we think that if we do the right thing, God wants justice. And it's interesting, it doesn't say social justice. We've created all these things because we've forgotten what the justice of God is all about. We have created equal rights because God has created us equally. If we just follow the precepts of God, we don't need all these adjectives anymore. But I want to share with you a story today. It's a terrible story, to be honest. And I always had a hard time to understand why God placed it in the Bible and why God allowed these events to take place. It's a story of a man who was extremely wealthy, who was extremely righteous, and he was extremely loving. He was a family man by the name of Job. Job was married to one wife, and he had many kids. I mean, they kept producing in those days. I think he had 10 kids, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not going to read you the whole story. You could read it for yourself. It's the book of Job. He was wealthy, and his children loved partying, right? They loved to have parties, and so every time they came together, the children, what would Job do? Job would go and pray, Lord, protect my kids from sinning. Let them not sin. As they are enjoying life, let them not sin. This man was a righteous man, and he was extremely wealthy. Most probably he would have put Bill Gates and the Amazon guy in his pocket. I mean, this is how wealthy he was. And in those days, in that type of money that they had, but then one day, Satan, we are told, who is a fallen angel, appears in the presence of God and says to God, look, God, this man, Job, worships you because you have been blessing him so much. And he's able to worship. I mean, it's in many ways, it's logical, right? When life is going well, you love God. And when life throws some challenges, you pray, but you go like, what did I do to deserve this? Especially if you're innocent. I mean, imagine all the innocent men and women ended up in jail for 30, 40 years for not committing any crimes. Somebody framed them. You see, I mean, that is the biggest injustice. And how can you put price on a 40 year of somebody's life, you know, who spent behind bars on crimes they have not committed, all because there was a foolish, selfish. Anyway, let's stop there because my sermon is about Job. So Satan appears in the presence of God. So you could see that the angel, the fallen angel, has access to the presence of God. Now you always think like, no, he's a creature. God created Satan. He was called the angel of light before his fallen nature. Before even the world was created, he was fallen. He was thrown out of heaven. And do not ever think that Satan is equal to God. You know, the opposite of God is not Satan. There's no opposite of God. He stands alone, right? So always we think like there's God. Hollywood is great. You know, they put this two angels, one with a thing, and then, you know, like, the red guy is always attractive what he's saying. Ah, come on, it's all right. And then the angel says, don't do it. No. It doesn't exist. It's not about, you know, God and Satan. It's just Satan trying to rebel. So he comes in the presence of God. He's the accuser of the brethren. Remember in the Bible, he accuses people. And he says, look, the only reason Job is doing what he's doing because you've blessed him so much. Take away what he has and see how he will curse you. And it's interesting. God could have said, go back to hell. He didn't say that. He said, and we don't understand this. Now I understand it, but it helps me deal with day-to-day life. God said, all right, go. And he knew that he was going to prove Satan wrong. And he didn't have to even prove Satan wrong because God's word stands by itself. He says, I think the story is for our benefit. And he says, go and do whatever you want to him. But one thing you cannot do is take his life. See, not a single hair will fall from our heads. I'm the bad example here. Not a single hair will fall from your heads unless God has allowed it. I don't understand that. I say, well, would he be interested in one hair? Yeah. That's how powerful God is, and we're going to see this. So Job, unfortunately, is the guinea pig here. He loses his children. Not one, all of them. The wife was a pain in the neck. She's still in the picture. You would think she's the first one who would go. No, she's staying. And she is basically encouraging him, curse God and die. Curse God and die. Because the guys, not only wealth has gone away, right, overnight. This guy was a righteous guy. He didn't do anything wrong. And he knows he's done nothing wrong. You know, usually when you get some stuff coming on you, you know that you deserve it somehow. You could try to hire lawyers to defend you. But deep down, you know it's you brought this upon yourself. You always find a loophole. At least I do, right? You're saying, is it that bad? No, it's not that bad. But if I don't include myself in, then I'm being a hypocrite. But in this case, you've got Job who's doing everything in his power to just still praise God. Everything is lost, and now his health. His health is deteriorating. He's got boils on his body and itching, and then he's not able to walk. And then eventually, you know, his wife comes and he says, you know, curse God and die. You know, just curse him. He says, no, I cannot curse God. He says, naked I've come, and naked will I go. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, if the wife was not enough, you've got three of his friends who are ministers, right? Let's call them ministers. They come, they say, Job, you must have committed some sort of a sin for this punishment to come on you. But Job says, I have not. They say, well, the law says, you know, punishment comes when you have committed wrong. So just confess your sin and God will forgive you. But he says, how can I confess something that I've not done? And then, you know, this conversation goes back and forth between his friends. and Job. And this is where it gets fascinating. In Job chapter 19, finally, you know, Job is responding to his friends, right? He doesn't understand. Are there instances in your life that happens that you just don't understand? That you genuinely just have no idea why they're happening to you? And some people say, well, why not me? I never say, why not me? But they try to justify that by just creating, why not me? There are bigger things that are happening that we do not understand, and we must acknowledge that. You see, we don't have control over everything. There are certain things we have no control over. Now, here, Job is speaking up through human perspective, right? Just like you and me. He's a Christian, he's a follower of God, and this is what he says to his friends. How long will you torment me and crush me with words? Sometimes people are the worst. They say the right thing, but they are really saying the wrong thing. I remember there was somebody who was going through a rough time, really rough time. They've lost, you know, a very dear person, a child, actually. So the other person came and they put their arms around the mother and they says, you know, I know what you're going through. The mother looked very angrily at her and just left. Then I went and spoke to the person. I said, how do you know what she's going through? You've never gone through it. I mean, they were the right words, right? They were the right things to say. But you know, sometimes you just have to say nothing but be present. I don't understand. I don't understand. And it's a powerful thing to say, I don't understand this. And here, they were more condemning than being there as friends. Then Job replied, how long will you torment me and crush me with words? 10 times now you have reproached me. Shamelessly you attack me. If it's true that I've gone astray, my error remains my concern alone. If indeed you would exalt yourselves above me and use my humiliation against me, then know that God has wronged me and drawn his net around me. Though I cry violence, I get no response. Though I call for help, there is no justice. Do you get this? What's happening here? I mean, he's blaming God. He says, God has wronged me. He has blocked my way so I cannot pass. He has shrouded my paths in darkness. He has stripped me of my honor and removed the crown from my head. He tears me down on every side till I'm gone. He uproots my hope like a tree. See, he doesn't say love, but hope. He uproots my hope like a tree. His anger burns against me. He counts me among his enemies. And he goes on and on and on. I'm not going to read the whole chapter of 19, but I highly encourage you to read this. And then his friends come and they, you know, they're like, you know, lawyers, and tell them, you know, why he's wrong. Eventually God speaks. And this is what we need to hear. This is what God says. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of turmoil. He said, who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? He's addressing this to Job. Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? That's the equator, right? On what were its footings set, or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness. When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place. When I said, this far you may come and no further. Here is where your proud waves halt. Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place, that it might take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it? The earth takes shape like clay under a seal. Its features stand out like those of garments. I mean, I could read on and on and on. Have you entered the storehouses of the snow or seen the storehouses of the hail, which I reserve from times of trouble for days of war and battle? What is the way to the peace where the lightning is dispersed, or the place where the east winds are scattered over the earth? Who cuts a channel for the torrents of rain and a path for a thunderstorm? And he goes on, and when I was reading this, I went like, whoa, shut up, Parrish. Be quiet, be still. Because it's natural to get angry on things that we don't understand. But there is nothing that is being done, good, bad, and ugly, that God is not in control. And I do believe sometimes, and a lot of times as we... somebody's talking to me from here. But as we remember history, and as we read the Old Testament and learn the lessons, human nature has not changed. Human nature will not change. Human nature will continue. Therefore, there's no such thing that true peace can be established through human beings. If that gets established, believe me, there will be basically the Antichrist coming. And scripture says that under Antichrist, there will be peace. But true peace can only come through the peace, the Prince of Peace. So my friends, if there are things that you have done in life, it comes back and haunts you. Don't blame Satan. There are always consequences for our actions today. But I would encourage you and tell you that there are certain things on the world stage we will not understand. We will not understand. There are certain things that God would allow, like he allowed in the life of Job, that we will not understand, whether it is in the life of our nation, whether it is in the life of this world. But what is for sure, God is establishing his kingdom. Today, God is moving his kingdom throughout the world, and people are coming to faith. See, if we, the Church of Jesus Christ, I believe that in the West we have become very selfish. We go to be entertained. As I said, those churches have expiry dates. Those who entertain, they are here today, tomorrow they are gone. And I could go over and over and over and over. The word of God has to be preached in season and out of season. And at all times. And God has the final say. What does scripture say? And this message is for the younger ones who are here. Anyone who is under 90 is young. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And it's very easy to lose track in this world. In the world of politics that we live in the world of social media, it's so many things that happen, it's so believable. Because if enough people agree on something, it becomes universal in nature. And once it becomes universal in nature, it becomes truth. Do you see what's happening? And that truth might not have any foundation for being truth. It's becoming the truth that many are putting their faith, and it's all based on emotions. Never make major decisions of your life based on emotions, because they are going to trick you and disappoint you. Always have the word of God on your side, in season and out of season. There are times that you're not going to feel comfortable as you're going through the fires of life. But always the gold is refined as it goes through fire. So, and then once you come out of that fire refined, it doesn't mean it's the end. There might be other storms that are waiting, but God will only bring certain things in your life that you're capable of handling it, and he will give you the grace. He will never place you in a situation without placing his grace in it. That's why the grace of God is sufficient and important. And he is not going to forsake us. He did not forsake Job. He taught him an amazing lesson. Because in the midst of all these love stories that we share and faith stories that we share, we do forget at times who God is. He's not our body. He's not our friend. He is God Almighty. And he has sent his begotten Son to die for you and me, so that through him, we become children of God. Now, let's throw that lie out of the picture when people say we're all children of God. I say no, biblically that cannot happen. Some are children of the devil. Jesus himself reminded us of this. But he wants everybody to be saved. And it is our job to proclaim the good news in season and out of season. People who might believe in it or not, or reject it. Our job is to live the gospel as best as we are able. And sometimes we're going to fail. You know, when you fail, don't stand there. You know, again, I want to close this sermon there, but this pastor who just fallen from, he did things that he should not have done. But God still loves him. He cannot be in the position anymore that he was in. And sometimes when we are not careful in our day-to-day life, you know, sometimes when you put that plane on an automatic pilot, it will go fine, everything will seem fine. But even the pilot from time to time has to check if he's on the right track. Because there are winds that are coming your way. This is a sermon actually I preached. It was my very first sermon I preached at Bible college. I don't know why it came to my mind. Airplanes. But you know, from time to time, you know, there are winds, there are storms that that plane will go through. An automatic pilot will do so much. We have to adjust. We have to bring that plane back. And that's what pilots do. And if we are guiding our lives in the name of Christ, we need to watch. We need to walk away from things that we need to walk away from. Because in the long run, we will benefit from those things. Satan will tempt us. He will accuse us. And at times of weakness, he is going to come and hit us hard. So I pray for this minister. He had a big follower, you know, but then his life is just upside down now. Why? Because he took that step. But I'm just saying, we're all capable of taking that step. You know, some people just judge, oh, look what happened to him. If that is Christianity, I say, no, that's not Christianity. But it shows us how frail we are without being careful. Let us be thankful for the Word of God. Let us learn the lessons from the book of Job. Let us remember always who we are. We are children of the King. We don't elect him every 4 years. He elects us. And he will reign and stay supreme forever and ever and ever. All right. We're going to end our service this morning. And we're going to end our service by our last song. And this is the time also we invite people to bring their offerings if you are joining us online or in person. And all offerings are used for the glory of God. Our last song, it's called The Living Hope, and we're going to sing it together. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. He's not a dead hope. He's not a. He's not somebody that he did not fulfill what he said. He is very much alive, and he rules the creation. Before we depart, let me not forget to tell you that Job was restored to his not only back life that he had, but God blessed him tenfold for him staying faithful. Now, he questioned God, but God did not hold that against him. He just needed to be reminded of who he was and who God was. But he was rewarded tenfold for staying true. So in the Christian life, when we stay true to the call that God has given us, and we all have different callings, we have different positions in life. If we stay faithful, God will always stay faithful and bless us far greater than our imagination. And I'm not just talking materially. I'm talking about, more importantly, the peace of Christ that transcends all understanding, that money cannot buy, will abide with us forever. So that's what I'm talking about. And he will bless us, of course, in many ways and different forms. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you and your loved ones now and forevermore. Amen. And we've got a big number. We're joining us virtually, and then we've got a big number here. And I would encourage you, wear your mask and go and introduce yourself to somebody that you've not met before. I know we come at different times, and you know, and there's coffee hour, and we're going to celebrate Marianne's birthday. She just turned 21. She looks extremely well for a 21. And we're going to have a cake. If you can't stay, stay behind. And we're going to be at the back in the garden. In the garden, it sounds like a hymn. And we're going to enjoy just fellowshipping one another. You know, COVID or no COVID, we wear masks. It's important to fellowship as a community. Thank you for joining us. And thank you all for also joining us via Zoom and Facebook. God bless you. And hopefully, I will see some of you in the church building. Now, if you would have come today, we could not have placed you anywhere because we are socially distancing ourselves. So God bless you. Until Wednesday night, bye-bye.